And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Yo, yo, welcome to the post-game edition of the Forum Club. I am your host, Jovan Buha, Lakers beat writer for The Athletic. And tonight, Saturday night, the Lakers defeated the Chicago Bulls 101-90 to improve to a league-best 13-4, a league-best 9-0 on the road, and now 2-0 on this seven-game road trip. The story of this game was Anthony Davis, who had a season-high 37 points two nights after he said he sucks and was very critical of himself after having five consecutive games with fewer than 20 points, which, of course, is a rarity for him. Definitely a offensive funk that he was in. He had been passing the ball well, you know, had 13 assists over his previous two games, but was not looking like AD offensively. You know, that, you know, missing free throws, missing jumpers, failing to finish at the rim, struggling to you know, again, single coverage, double teams, and in terms of trying to score for himself. So the Lakers made it a point to get him going early. You know, LeBron talked about it after the game that was the game plan tonight. We're going to feed AD. We're going to make sure he gets going. And they did that. He scored the first 7 points of the game. He had 15 points in the first quarter, 26 in the first half. And actually scored his 37 through three quarters. You know, had this game been more competitive, we might have seen a 45 piece from him. We might have seen a 50 piece from him. He was really dominant. You know, 14 of 21 shooting, 2 of 3 from deep, 7 of 9 from the free throw line. You know, so AD just, you know, his best offensive performance of the season. His previous season high was 34 in San Antonio in that second game of the Lakers series over there, but just a phenomenal dominant performance from AD. And you know, I've been getting so many questions and people concerned about his start to the season and what's going on. And I just think this was, you know, look, like the Bulls are not going to make the playoffs. You know, I think they're a lottery team. Maybe they'll be in the play-in in the East. This is not a you know, good defensive team. They do not. You know, Wendell Carter Jr. was out, that they were starting Daniel Gafford. So it was a lot of Gafford and Markkanen and Cristiano Felicio. And, you know, it was just not the best personnel to throw at AD. You know, few teams are equipped to even give him a hard time. But, you know, the Bulls are certainly not on that list. But still, it was good, you know, with the way he had been playing for him to come out. Again, 37 points on 14 of 21 shooting. Like that is incredible efficiency. And most of his damage was done around the rim, in the paint, inside. You know, he was very assertive. He was aggressive. He shot the ball well and, you know, connected on another one of those. You know, I believe it was Patrick Williams kind of dug over towards AD on the right block. And it was kind of a soft double, as Frank Vogel said post game, and that just gave LeBron a runway to the rim. Like you help off LeBron's the next man, you know, the next pass over, and you help off LeBron, he's gonna cut to the rim, and he cut to the rim and got a monster dunk in a half court setting, and had another nice cut off of a Marc Gasol, you know, high post read in the second half, and it's just, you know, you've seen a different version of LeBron this season in terms of some of the off-ball stuff, some of the cutting that you hadn't seen as much, not only with the Lakers, but even in recent seasons with Cleveland. You know, really have to go back to Miami to see this version of LeBron in terms of his cutting and finishing in that manner. So, you know, I think the one, there was, you know, the one blemish on this game was the third quarter where the Bulls, you know, outscored the Lakers 33-20. They got it down to, I believe, 14, might have even been 12, but, you know, I know for sure it was 14. And, you know, Lakers shot 4 for 19 from deep. It's only 21%. You know, AD was actually the only Laker to make more than 1-3, with KCP and Alex Crusoe being the others to connect on one. But, you know, it was an uncharacteristic game in terms of that. But you look at 25 for 31 from the free throw line. It's almost 81%. So I think, you know, an 18 turnovers, it's a little too high. But overall, you know, Frank Vogel said it post game, like he wasn't upset or concerned with the 3-point shooting. You know, this team has been on a tear, shooting 40%, tied for third best in the NBA heading into tonight's game. So, you know, 4 for 19, that's going to drop that, could drop that a bit with how close some of those rankings are. But I think overall, big picture, you know, this was a game the Lakers should have won. They should have won by more, quite frankly, than 11, you know, not only just based on the opponent, but based on the context of the game itself, where you know, they had a 30-point halftime lead. It was their biggest halftime lead since last year against the Suns, where they had a 33-point lead at halftime January 1st against the Suns. And it was the fewest points allowed by the Lakers since 2016, also against the Suns, and they only scored 22 points in the first half. So yeah, I mean, they had a 30-point lead, held the Bulls to 33 points in the first half, and they were looking to roll and just have an absolute, you know, 20-30-point win. That didn't end up being the case, but I think the silver lining in that, Frank Vogel talked about it, you know, that at halftime he brought up the Golden State game and how the last time they had a big lead and lost it, you know, they ended up losing the game. And while they didn't come out with that urgency in the second half, you know, particularly in the third quarter, LeBron and AD both got to rest the entire fourth quarter. You know, AD only played 28 minutes. LeBron only played 29. So from that perspective, even though the Bulls cut into the lead, kept it under 20 points for a good portion of the second half, the Lakers didn't have to put their starters back in, or at least not AD and LeBron. And anytime you can save those guys' legs and just shave off some minutes, that's always very valuable. So I think in the big picture, like, we're not going to remember much from this game. I think AD's, you know, home cooking, big performance in front of what should have been his home, you know, crowd and friends and family, ended up, you know, being, you know, a dominant performance that they all had to watch from home. One other notable thing quickly, THT, who had not played the last couple games, had seen his role diminish with Wes Matthews back in the lineup, played 21 minutes, the third most off the bench behind Trez and Kyle Kuzma, scored 10 points, including 8 in the first half. He looked like THT, right? Like, he 4-for-4 from the free throw line, you know, was getting to the rim, getting into the paint, you know, did force a couple shots, had a couple turnovers, but you know, looked, it was the pros and cons of THT's game. I think he continues to look better, continues to look more assertive. And, you know, I like that Vogel went away from that, you know, meh bench lineup. Markieff Morris is actually a DMP, which I did not realize until right now. So that's interesting. I wouldn't read too much into that. I think that, you know, the Lakers went away from that meh bench lineup and, you know, ended up, you know, going with a different look, a smaller look with Kuz at the four, you know, Trez still at the five, but then Wes, THT, and Alex on the perimeter, which I do like that group more. Like, you know, as I've said, I think if you are going to go with a all bench lineup or even a bench lineup around LeBron, you need Caruso in there or THT, and then you can go Trez and then Kyle or Wes or both, and then, you know, maybe bench Keefe or you put Keefe in there and bench one of those two. But you need another ball handler, if not two. And so for me, seeing Alex and THT get some of those minutes next to LeBron, that, you know, we have seen, but not always seen, especially when they go to that, you know, bigger lineup with, where basically Wes is the other perimeter guy. Like, that to me was encouraging, and it worked. You know, if you look at the bench minutes, Kuzma plus 9, Trez was a plus 0, but he played a majority of the fourth, so he got some of that, you know, blowout time. But Wes was a plus 8, Alex was a plus 1, THT plus 3. So, you know, the bench was a positive tonight. going up against a solid bench in Chicago that you know has been a positive for that team. So I think ultimately, again, like not much to take away from this game. I do think it's interesting Markieff didn't play. I honestly didn't even notice that, but you know, it might be something to ask Frank ahead of the Cleveland game.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's get into the Q&A portion of the show. Not too many questions tonight, so we can probably breeze through this. From Ali at Trojans Lakers, big fan of the podcast. Any concern with the three-point shooting this game after making 19 three-point shots last game? They only made four. Also, what is going on with Dennis Schroeder and Marc Gasol? Both seem to be struggling on offense. So for the first question, I wouldn't read too much into it. Just like I wouldn't read too much into the 19 threes, I wouldn't read too much into the four threes. I think if you average those out, they were, what, 19 for 37 last game. So they went four for 19. So you add those together, right? So that's 23. I'm about to do math. Let's see, 19 plus 37, that's what, 56. So 23 divided by 56. This is really exciting stuff. Still 41%. So I wouldn't, you know, if you look at the last two games against Milwaukee, that is 23 threes. So 11.5, 41% shooting. You take that. You know, it's a little bit under what they're averaging. They're averaging a little over 12 threes a game. So, you know, from a makes perspective, it is not at their, you know, average standard. But from a percentage standpoint, that's, you know, better than their season average, which now is going to dip below 40% after tonight's game. So I wouldn't be too worried about the three-point shooting. I think it ebbs and flows. And, you know, I look at the 54 points in the paint as something that was very encouraging, right? Like, I think, you know, you can look at the three-point shooting as a negative, but they shot, you know, not only 54 points in the paint, but they shot 31 free throws, which, you know, a majority of those came from being fouled in the paint. So I think, you know, if you look at that, they really attacked the rim, really attacked the paint. You know, honestly, the only thing I'd have an issue with is the 19 three-point attempts. Like, I would like to see that always closer to 30, you know, 30 to 35. So honestly, I have more of an issue with just 19 attempts versus just four makes. But I think that was a byproduct of they got to the free throw line so much and they lived in the paint. So, you know, they weren't creating those same three-point looks, which is exactly what Frank Vogel said post game. As for Mark and Dennis, I think it really is just a learning curve for those two, and we've seen that lately. Mark has pretty much become only a spot up shooter. He's not attacking off of offensive rebounds. He's not really getting post ups. He's not getting his one legged Dirk shots that he kind of took over, you know, post Dirk. You know, he's one of the better guys at that. It's like him, LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, Kevin Durant, and even LeBron and AD can hit that shot too. But Mark has been doing it for years. You know, we have not seen that from him. And only one assist tonight, which was that backdoor cut to LeBron. But I think the Lakers are still figuring it out. You know, with Dennis, he's in a shooting slump, but he's still being productive. You know, four assists tonight. Three turnovers, he had some bad decisions. And I think for Mark and Dennis, you know, neither guy has played with two high usage guys to the extent of AD and LeBron. You know, like in Memphis, Mark didn't have anybody like that. In Toronto, he had Kawhi, but not two of those guys. And then with Dennis, you know, yes, he technically, you know, in Atlanta, it was a pretty, equal opportunity offense. In OKC, you know, he did have Russ and PG for, I think, a season or two. But, you know, I think he was also coming off the bench and it was a different role. And, you know, I think him being in the starting lineup, playing a lot of minutes alongside LeBron and AD, they have not been as staggered as I thought they were going to be. I think it's just an adjustment for him, you know, and there is that element of anytime he's sharing the floor with them, you know, I think it's clear, like, the Lakers prefer the ball going to those two. And even looking at the shot attempts tonight, AD at 21, LeBron at 16, and then it's a steep drop off all the way down to Dennis at 8, you know, half of the attempts of LeBron. So, I still think this is a circumstance where, you know, Dennis is, I guess, technically the third guy on the team in terms of pecking order, but, you know, there are going to be nights where, Trez is right there, or Kuz is right there, or KCP if he's shooting the ball well, THT if he's got it going off the bench. Like, the Lakers have so many offensive weapons that I think, you know, on most nights, Dennis should be the third guy, but there will be instances in which he's just not getting the shots, and it's more of a matchup thing. Like, you know, I said last podcast, I thought Milwaukee was not a great matchup for him. And, you know, Chicago, you know, was okay. He was only 3-for-8, but I think I wouldn't worry too much. I want to see, again, we're not even at the 20-game mark. I want to see the 40-game mark, the 50-game mark, the 60-game mark. If we're seeing some of these issues and the Lakers haven't ironed out some of the problems with Mark and Dennis and just kind of figured out their fit, then I think some of this concern is warranted. But the other thing is, look, like, this team's winning, right? Like, and of course you're always looking for room for improvement, you know, different ways to grow and evolve, as a team. But I think right now the formula is working. And again, there are definitely things that they can improve on. I think more so defensively than offensively, but you know, I think until it becomes a problem, you know, until they start dropping some games that they shouldn't, and we can identify that it is specifically because of Dennis or Mark or just the starting unit for whatever reason, like, that's when I would be more concerned. I don't think, like, blowing the Golden State lead or losing some of the games they've lost was because of that. If anything, I think it was because of the bench's struggles in those games. You know, one of the trends in losses has been the bench centric units struggling. And then another trend has been, some of the closing lineup decisions and you know, going with Trez a couple times or not going back to certain guys and, kind of getting exposed defensively, you know, really looking at the Portland and Golden State matchup. So I think, you know, for the Lakers, big picture, I'm not worried about Mark or Dennis. I think they both have shown flashes of you know, why they were brought in. Mark's three-point shooting, his passing, his rim protection, you know, had 3 blocks tonight. Dennis, his playmaking, his scoring, specifically his paint scoring, but also his pick and roll scoring, transition, like, defensively, he's been, really, really impressive. So I'm not worried about either one of those guys. Let's get to a couple more. Aaron Labhan at Barnes 12. I touched on this basically a little bit earlier, but, you know, Vogel finally changed up the negative we weren't happy with. What do you think about benching Morris, adding another ball handler, AC plus THT? I thought it worked. You know, I don't know if Keefe is necessarily the guy to bench. I do think you can make a case he's been the 10th or 11th guy. I think Wes is probably recently shown a little bit more than Keefe. Keefe has kind of been quiet, but I do think there are going to be matchups where the Lakers need Keefe. I just think his skill set as a guy who could defend multiple positions, could defend inside, defend on the perimeter, space the floor, and play bigger than his size, right? Because I think, you know, looking at him versus like a Kuz or a Wes, someone you might look at in that like 3-4 spot, although, you know, Wes is more of a 2-3, but just kind of sliding that guy next to LeBron and AD in the front court, you know, Keefe will play bigger than his size. You know, he's a 6'8", 6'9 guy who can be that 4.5 for you and even play some 5. And the Lakers don't really have another guy like that. And looking at Mark, there's going to be certain defensive matchups where he gets played off the floor. Looking at Trez, same thing. But also offensive matchups where, you know, he if he's going up against like a Rudy Gobert or someone like that, you probably don't want him out there, not only for the defensive concerns, but he's just not going to be as effective offensively. So that's where you want a Keefe, I think, where, you know, he can provide some of the spacing that like Mark provides, but then also have some defensive versatility. So I don't know, you know, bigger picture, and that's how I like to look at these things, if benching Keefe is the move, but I do think adding in some THT, and again, just even adding in Alex, right? Like, you know, Alex for someone in that, someone else other than LeBron in that bench centric unit, you go LeBron, Alex, Trez, and then pick your other two guys, you know, Kuz, Wes, Keefe, THT, you know, mix and match. I think that's a really good bench lineup. But just having LeBron and four other guys who aren't going to handle the ball or play make, that is a recipe for disaster, as we've seen. This is a quick one here from at Laker Supply. Hey, Jovan, how many fast break points did the team have after the recent lull they've been in? Definitely felt like more than the 8 they've been averaging. They had 13 fast break points tonight, and that actually felt lower to me than it seemed in the moment, like watching the game. Felt like they got out in transition more. Also remember, you know, some of those free throws came from drawing fouls in transition. So, you know, technically that would be a little bit higher. But yeah, 13. You know, this team is at its best and most dangerous in transition. I think if this game had been closer earlier and LeBron and AD had been, you know, forced to play in the fourth, you would have seen more transition points. So that's definitely something that, you know, under a normal circumstance. I mean, this game was basically over by the end of the third, so some of the stats were a little bit wonky. And I think under normal circumstances, under a normal competitive game that is at least competitive into like the middle of the fourth quarter, and you have starters out there, you know, I think Lakers maybe get to like 20 fast break points tonight. This one is from Stephen Keating at Stephen MK, or Stephen Stephen. I apologize, I don't know which one. Wes Matthews gets fewer minutes than I expected going into the season. Is that just a case of too many players, or is he not earning minutes? I think it's both. I think it's too many players. You know, case. I mean, it's. I think it's not just too many players. It's that there's too many players playing well, and he has not particularly played well. You know, he's been very up and down with his shooting. Just with his on off court, you know, plus minus, like he's just kind of been all over the place, and most of the time been a negative, you know, been one of the worst guys in terms of plus minus. Like lineups with Wes have struggled more than any other rotation player, and you know, he has, I think, been a bit passive offensively in terms of his shots, you know, passing up threes, and you know, has openly talked about how much of an adjustment it's been going from being a starter to coming off the bench. But you just look at it, like, you know, KCP KCP was shooting 57% on threes heading into tonight. Same with Alex Caruso. You know, we know what those guys bring defensively. We know what they bring in transition. You know, two of you can make the case, arguably the third and fourth best players in the postseason last season, and you know, in the finals. So looking at that, like those guys need minutes, and you know, they're in direct competition. Then you bring in a guy like Dennis, who is going to be a high usage, high minutes guy in the backcourt. You have THT, who's emerging and the Lakers are trying to find minutes for. You have Kuz, who has actually played more at the three and the two than you'd like. Like, you know, ideally, Kuz is like a 3.5, a four. You know, you probably want to play him more at the four, but because of certain lineup configurations, you know, including that group that they play without another ball handler, like he plays at the two sometimes. I mean, he started at the two. So I just think it is a bit of a minutes crunch where the Lakers have, and then of course you have LeBron, who, you know, one through three is going to play, you know, a bunch of minutes across those three positions. So I just think looking at that, it's like the Lakers have probably four or five guys who should be playing 25 to 28 minutes, and they can't play all those guys 25 to 28 minutes. So Wes has just been one of those guys that has kind of been on the receiving end of the minutes crunch. So I will get to last question here from Philip F, and this is at PhilFlow87. With all the postponed games happening around the league, is it a testament to how seriously the Lakers organization is taking protocols, or is it just luck? and then knocks on wood. Well, Philip, I think it's a bit of both. If you look at who the Lakers have played, they haven't really faced a team that's been ravaged by COVID. So I think that has been luck. Like, you know, there's been some cases where they played some teams with absences, but they haven't had any of these situations where, you know, a game has not been postponed. They have not played an opponent with like eight or nine guys. So that has been luck and fortune. On the other side, you know, the team has been very vocal about how seriously they're taking COVID. From Frank Vogel to LeBron James to AD to Kuz to Marc Gasol. Like, they have all talked about, you know, this is something that they're taking very seriously, both because of how serious it is, but also, you know, they are, you know, the defending champions and they want to repeat. And this is a competitive group. And, you know, Kuz had I thought a great line about, like, nobody wants to let their brother down. You know, nobody wants to be that guy that gets in COVID protocol because of something stupid that they did or something reckless that they did and cost the team and be out. And also, frankly, I think from a competitive standpoint, you know, with how deep this team is, if you miss a few games, like, you could lose your spot. You could lose minutes. You know, I think that's a real, potential threat with this team with how deep they are. So, you know, Alex was the one guy who got in it. He said, you know, it was a close contact, tracing thing where he saw someone after Christmas that he trusted. And you know, that person, I guess, ended up testing positive. And he was a close contact tracing case and ended up missing five games. But aside from that, this has all been good from you know, the Lakers side of things. And I think part of it is luck because they've yet to play like a Washington, a Philly, like some of these teams that have really been decimated. And you know, we've seen how the teams that those teams have played have kind of ended up, you know, having to miss some games in some cases with certain players. So I do think there's a level of luck involved for sure. But I also think, and the other thing that LeBron said that I think applies here is that, you know, being in LA, you know, in LA County and in California, like, we're all used to how strict this has been. You know, we've all had to deal with this since March. Like, other states, other counties, you know, across the country have not had it as strict. So I think if you're, you know, and not every player is returning from last year's team, but, you know, I think for the most part, for most of the team, they are used to that standard of being in LA, we're basically staying in our house unless we're going to the grocery store or an essential service. So I think for the new guys, it's kind of fitting into that and kind of seeing like, okay, well, if nobody else is going out to eat or party or do whatever, like, we're not going to do that either. And I think that's a disadvantage for certain teams in other states, like a Florida or something like that, where they have a lot looser policies and, those teams and players can kind of go out and do stuff, or at least there's the temptation of, you know, okay, maybe my teammates aren't doing this, but if I want to go out to a restaurant, if I want to go out to a club, if I want to go party or do whatever, like, I have that opportunity. Whereas in LA, it's a little bit more rare, and it's just, you know, it's harder to do. So I think it's a combination of all that, but this trip is really going to test this. You know, they're on game two of a 2-week, you know, 7-game trip, and it's 7 games in 7 cities, 7 different states. So it is going to be interesting to see how the Lakers survive this, how they handle this, and if they can survive this without a COVID scare, or situation rather, knock on wood, I think, you know, they should be able to survive it at, you know, anything, right? And it seems to be inevitable where there's going to be, you know, one guy, two guys, maybe multiple guys who are close contact or you know, test positive. Like, it's happening to every, you know, basically every team except for a few. So, you know, the Lakers have been one of those few teams that have kind of been able to avoid it. It does feel inevitable at some point, but it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how and when that happens and how they handle it and who it is. And, you know, how many games are postponed, if there are any, and just kind of how the team responds. And depending on who it is, you might see certain guys have to step up and play more minutes, and that could end up being a silver lining down the road. So there's a lot that we don't know, a lot we can't predict with this, but it is definitely something that's interesting, something that we should all be thinking about. So thank you guys for the great questions, as always. You can follow me and talk to me and reach out and ask questions on Twitter and Instagram at Jovan Buha. That's at JOVANBUHA. I will be back Monday night following the Cleveland game. I will talk to you then.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.